Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Welcome back in to another edition of the Arrowhead Pride Report. It is Thursday, February 1st. I am Stephen Serta. Rested, relaxed after a couple of days off, just kind of catching up on everything and preparing for another Chiefs Super Bowl as they once again take on the San Francisco 49ers. So let me welcome in the leader of Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney. Sweeney, I know you've been all over the place. You're just in Baltimore. You're getting ready to go to Las Vegas. Like, just what's a day in the life of Pete Sweeney like right now?
Yeah, it's running around trying to get everything in a row before we get coverage starting again, which will actually be later today. Just like anyone else, I came back from Baltimore with the bag. In the process of unpacking and repacking right now. This time, we'll be away for 8 days, starting with opening night on Monday. I get into Las Vegas Monday morning early, and then it is there until the next Monday morning. So it should be a good time. And we will see if the Chiefs can become the first repeat champion since 2004.
It's crazy to think that's where we're at this point in the season with the way things have gone this year at times. But Pete's going to be very busy on the ground at the Super Bowl. So make sure you're locked into arrowheadpride.com because we'll have everything you need to know about this Kansas City Chiefs team ahead of kickoff. But it's been a quiet week as the guys get some time to rest and recuperate as they take this break ahead of the Super Bowl and they return to the practice field on Thursday. The Chiefs did release an estimated injury report on Wednesday afternoon. Defensive tackle Chris Jones was listed as a did not participate with a quad injury. Running back Isaiah Pacheco with the toe and ankle. Defensive end Charles Menehu knee. We know that's torn ACL. He's just going to get moved to IR at some point ahead of the Super Bowl, I would imagine. And left guard Joe Tooney dealing with that pectoral strain that has his status seriously in doubt for the Super Bowl. Wide receiver Sky Moore still hasn't been activated off of IR. Linebacker Willie Gay was listed as a limited participant, as well as cornerback Legarius Sneed. I think all of that is kind of expected, Pete, ahead of the Super Bowl as they get ready and try to make sure that they're as healthy as possible. We know there's some key injuries to watch, but that quad injury from Chris Jones is maybe a little worrisome, but I would expect that Chris Jones is going to do everything within his power to be available for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and don't forget, this is if they had practiced Wednesday. So if there's any question of Chris Jones and had they held a practice on Wednesday, could just be shutting him down for the bye week and him going through the walkthroughs and essentially being fine next week. This isn't a grand concern for me. Same with Pacheco. I think they're just managing the injury. For Menehu, the other DNP, not expecting to play. Joe Tooney, it seems like it's going to be a reach, but he's still continuing to try to work toward being able to play in the game. The other one that we're watching is Willie Gay Jr. It was estimated as a limited participant. Would be great to get him back into the mix. What is interesting is after all this Kadarius Toney back and forth, and whether he's hurt or not, he wasn't estimated with an injury yesterday. The injury has been taken away, and it's just as personal and full participant. So sort of an odd situation going on with Kadarius. We will see if he's out at the practice field on Thursday. We get a look at that, and we'll see if he's back in the mix. Andy Reid said he'd be back to practice. So just another something to watch. I'm not sure, regardless of health, what Tony would be active in this game. Kind of seems like the Chiefs have an offensive rotation they like right now.
Yeah, and it's worth mentioning that it was reported that Kadarius Toney just had the birth of his first child, so maybe that's the personal reason that he's dealing with right now, aside from the weird Instagram video that I don't know if we ever confirmed that that was real or not, but it just seems like at this point, as far as Kadarius Toney goes, like, you know, he's had a lot of downs this season and very few highs. So at this point, whether he's healthy or not, I understand he wants to get on the field. And we saw the impact that he had in last year's Super Bowl. But this Chiefs offense has really found something here in the playoffs. And so part of me is like, just don't mess it up. Just go with the guys that you've been rolling with. Do what you've been doing. And they give you the best chance to win against the 49ers.
Yeah, at this stage, I feel bad for them. I always try to remember that, you know, these are human beings and they can access Twitter just like we can. But it's been a tough year for both Toney and Moore. That said, the NFL is a business and it just wouldn't make sense for rhythm, team chemistry, et cetera, to put either of these guys back in the lineup, at least for this year. Now you talk about next year's training camp. You want to argue, okay, let's see what Toney and Moore do against competition and trying to earn a spot on the roster and in that rotation. I'm really open to that. I mean, I think we've seen the talent of both of these guys here and there. And, you understand why maybe the Chiefs would want to give them an opportunity if they're under contract. Yeah, for right now, for this game, the Chiefs are better to stick to the rotation they have. There's no reason if it's not broken, as they say, Steve, you don't fix it.
Yeah, I'm very much in favor of kind of just keeping the rotation that they have been. Travis Kelce, Rashee Rice, Isaiah Pacheco. Hopefully MVS can make a couple of big plays because we know he's been key so far in the postseason. He's got maybe three of the biggest catches for the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs. We touched on Charles Omenihu and the ACL tear, obviously, because we haven't really had an opportunity to discuss this, because after the game, Charles Omenihu was like, I'm good to go. I'm going to play in the Super Bowl. And, and this is when he was hoping for the best at that point. But obviously, it's a huge loss for the Chiefs defensive line that has been such a factor so far in the playoffs. And Charles Omenihu has been huge for them. Down the back half of the season, he's been one of their best players along that defensive line, continuously generating pressure and just being a force up front for the Kansas City Chiefs that's allowing them to do a lot of the things that they want to do on defense. So this is a big loss for them, and it's an important loss that I don't think we should underestimate. But now maybe in the Super Bowl, we actually get a longer look at Chiefs rookie first rounder Felix and Odike Uzama, and they need guys like George Karloftis and Mike Dana and even Chris Jones at this point, which it seems crazy to say that they need Chris Jones to step up even more, but they need all of those guys to step up in the absence of Charles Omenihu.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough break. Cause I don't think you have a direct replacement for him. Like for example, in the Joe Tooney situation, I feel like Alec Reddy is a pretty good depth player that you can put in plug and play. And of course, not the caliber of Tooney, but I think close enough where you don't really sense that it's a bigger deal, whereas Omenihu is playing at a level that the Chiefs don't have close in that room right now. So I think it'll be a mix of Herring and Felix and Odike. Well, that'd be my best guess to try to replace what Omenihu has been doing. And the idea is, with the rotation, these guys constantly having fresh legs, maybe you get, somewhere in the range of where Omenihu was. But it's just tough break for him. He was having a fantastic year, had an opportunity to play his former team in the Super Bowl, and just not to be with the torn ACL. And we put an article up this week with just the idea that Omenihu and the timing of this thing, it definitely puts training camp in jeopardy, and certainly even maybe the first month of next season. So just a tough situation all around, but it does seem like he will be in Las Vegas around the team and there to support. I mean, he was a big part of their end of season turnaround and being able to, I think, push toward the playoffs and have success and win all the games leading into the Super Bowl. So unfortunate for him, but he will rehab and hope his teammates can finish the job along the way and hope to be back by September, October.
Yeah, just such a brutal injury at this part of the season where you've grinded all year long to get to this point and to help your team succeed and get where you want to go, and you get there and you can't even play in that game. And now The biggest thing I'd be worried about for Charles Omenihu, who's going to expected to be a key factor and next season as well, is whether or not he's going to be ready for training camp, suffering that kind of injury this late in the season.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't anticipate him starting training camp. They have the PUP list, which is if a player comes into camp injured, he won't count against the roster, and you can leave him there until he practices. I mean, I don't anticipate him any participating in a single training camp practice. I mean, he may go Aaron Rodgers on us and guarantee he'll be there at some capacity, but we know how that worked for Rodgers. You know, I think they're going to be realistic about this, and Kansas City – for what it's worth, and this is worth remembering long-term situations like this, they tend to err on the side of caution before rushing a player in and having a re-injury and then resetting the clock and that type of thing. Now, I remember what happened with Trent McDuffie during his rookie season. They waited and waited and waited. So, you know, we're saying September, October, but who knows? Maybe it would be more of October, November, based on how the Chiefs usually handle these types of things.
And for the San Francisco 49ers, as far as their estimation goes, they appear pretty healthy ahead of this game. And according to the DraftKings Sportsbook, the Chiefs are still 2-point underdogs. I believe it was down to 1.5. Now it's back up to +2 for the Kansas City Chiefs. So San Francisco is still favored in this one. And Pete, we haven't really talked about this yet, but you know, I feel really good about where the Chiefs are overall right now and how they've played in this postseason compared to how San Francisco has played. But it's obviously still not a team you should sleep on. And we talk about the Charles Omenihu injury. That could be huge because, you know, we know that Steve Spagnuolo in this Chiefs defense likes to blitz and get after quarterbacks. Brock Purdy's been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL this season against the blitz. But we could also say that about Lamar Jackson, and the Chiefs still gave him plenty of problems in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, you look at how the Chiefs have operated here, and it doesn't matter. I mean, they just have this ultimate success on defense, regardless of the opponent. And I mean, I don't know. I don't get the spread. And you know, Vegas is a lot smarter than me. They run a lot of numbers, and you know, they get it right quite typically. But I just think of the way these two teams are playing now, where like it really doesn't matter what kind of challenge you put in Spagnuolo. He comes up with a plan to get to the other quarterback and limit what they can do offensively. Meanwhile, I don't think the 49ers defense has looked that good in over a month, and you see the amount of yardage that they've gone up in the playoffs, and you have the Chiefs offense coming on. I don't understand it. It seems like the Chiefs are playing better right now, which in NFL playoffs matters more so than even being the better team. And so I like, if I was making the spread and I'm just trying to, you know, in an unbiased manner, think about the game, I'm probably thinking about Chiefs like -2, -2.5, like that. It's more of the Chiefs being slight favorites than the 49ers. But look, Steve, I don't own a casino. I have not built these shiny buildings in Vegas. They all made a lot of money doing so. So there's probably a better reason. But it's hard for me to understand right now.
I just think narrative wise, like a lot of football followers, NFL fans would follow this and be like, how are the Chiefs not favored? Like, what is going on? Have they watched how Patrick Mahomes has played in the playoffs? Have they watched this Chiefs defense? And I think at the end of the day, San Francisco is a scary team that should not be overlooked. And I do feel like a lot of people are just assuming like it's a foregone conclusion. Patrick Mahomes is unstoppable. He's going to go win another ring. And this San Francisco 49ers team is as talented at the top as any team that we have ever seen. Like, we know that they have superstar players in Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey. And then you get into the defense and it's like Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, superstar linebackers, Nick Bosa, Chase Young, Eric Armstead. Like, they've got playmakers at every level on both sides of the football. And Brock Purdy's obviously been a huge difference maker there compared to Jimmy Garoppolo and other quarterbacks that they've had in the past. But it's just the line still feels weird, though, right? Like, it still feels like, yeah, but how could you watch how that those teams have played in the playoffs and say that the 49ers are definitively better than what the Chiefs have put out on tape so far this postseason? I agree with you. It's weird. But I feel like it's just leaning into the star power of San Francisco and the questions the Chiefs still have on offense despite their success in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I I understand what you're saying, but it's Mahomes versus Brock Purdy at the end. I mean, I don't care if you know who your have your skill players on. I don't think that you should be underdogs in this game, and especially because we saw Jordan Love and the Packers put 300 yards and were right there to win the game. We saw Jared Goff and the Lions put 400 yards up on that defense and were right there to win the game. It doesn't make a ton of sense. I mean, I look at the Chiefs road, and I did this yesterday on 610, and I'll do it here. If I'm ranking like the difficulty, you know, and going in before the games, and we know some stuff now, like I would have ranked the challenges of this postseason probably Bills on the road first, Ravens on the road second, and then it would be the 49ers at a neutral site. Like, I think this is the third most difficult challenge the Chiefs had, is just especially the way that Spagnuolo was drawing up these plans against Brock Purdy. And then just the offense coming on and what we've seen from the 49ers in these two games. It just doesn't make a ton of sense to me. But like I said, again, these line makers, these bookies know a lot more than I do. So we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, it feels like the 49ers have caught some breaks to get to this point in the season. But again, not a team you should sleep on. But we at Arrowhead Pride are very much in favor of the Chiefs playing as underdogs once again. So let the books decide that. We hope that come by Sunday Super Bowl here in 10 days or so that the Kansas City Chiefs are still underdogs and the 49ers are still favored, because the Chiefs totally play into that stuff. So we got press conferences later on today. We'll hear from head coach Andy Reid, quarterback Patrick Mahomes. We'll have those available for you on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. And then we'll have tons of stuff coming out next week as we cover yet another Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl. So be on the lookout for all of that. Stay locked into arrowheadpride.com. As always, please make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can follow Pete on Twitter at PG Sween. I'm Steven Serta. That's where you can find me. We will be back tomorrow with another edition of the Arrowhead Pride Report as soon as the Kansas City Chiefs get on the practice field, and we've got some things to talk about. So we'll talk to you guys then.
Hey there, it's Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride, and I'm excited to announce a new element of the Arrowhead Pride experience for diehard Chiefs fans. It's our brand new newsletter, Arrowhead Pride Premier. It's obviously an exciting time as the Chiefs enter this season looking to become the first back-to-back Super Bowl champs in nearly 20 years. Arrowhead Pride Premier is a newsletter delivered to your inbox twice a week from me. For $50, you'll get an annual subscription packed with insider coverage from yours truly and new in-depth analysis from voices around Kansas City. It's all about what I'm seeing and hearing around the team. During the season, we'll deliver a newsletter ahead of each game to get ready for Sunday, and a newsletter after each game to unpack exactly what happened. In the offseason, the party won't stop. We'll still be covering the biggest stories, and all the offseason's twists and turns will show up in your inbox on a regular basis. Subscribe to Arrowhead Pride Premier today at arrowheadpride.com/subscribe.